Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We're going to be talking about, can I know if I'm saved? And you can get up with the assurance each day and know that you're saved. And we're going to look at quite a bit of scripture today that will tell you that you can know without any doubt, without any discrepancy, that you can know that you're saved, and you can be assured of that, have the confidence, the boldness of that as you go forth in your daily walk. First, I want to give a brief update of what's going on here in Africa. We're in Kenya today as we come to you, and thank the Lord for the good projects we have going here. We're working on a postal mill house out at the children's home at the church, and we're going to be milling a fresh maize flour to sell to the villagers, and we're also going to have a little duka, a little corner grocery there. We'll sell salt and sugar and soap and tea and those kind of things. And so this is a real breakthrough for Makunda Village. It's been a rough place out there for many generations. People steal, people kill, many people have broken marriages, many people have died before their time, died before their destiny was fulfilled, and it's predominantly a Muslim village. And so this is going to be a breakthrough for this village to have a nice little corner grocery there and a place where they can have their flour milled. And so that is the prime project we have going now. We're also organizing a crusade for over in Butere in western Kakamega County, here over toward the Uganda border. And we're going to be doing that most likely mid-January or late December. And so we thank the Lord for that, for the plans and the provision for that crusade. Kenya has been locked down for almost 2 years, a year and three quarters. And so because of the COVID virus, there's not been any crusades in Kenya. And so this is going to be a breakthrough for us here in Kenya. And we're going to be able to move forward and do a crusade here and break the ice and get things rolling here in Kenya as far as a crusade. So if you have any interest in supporting any of those projects, the children's home has 33 children now, and so we would appreciate your support for any of those projects. Stay tuned to the end of this broadcast and we can get you some information how you can contact this ministry and be a part of supporting these great projects. Well, today, if you have your Bible, turn it to 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 11, 1 John in the New Testament, clear to the back of the New Testament, and we're going to start in verse 11, chapter 5, and this is a statement by the Apostle John, the disciple, the apostle that Jesus loved, and he lived much longer than the other disciples. He was alive in 95 AD, somewhere around that period of time, and so he lived approximately 60 years after Jesus was crucified. And so here's John speaking in verse 11 of chapter 5, and this is the testimony that God has given us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Well, beloved, salvation starts with Jesus. Salvation starts with the Son of God. And so we can know for certain that we are saved if we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I know many people, even if you go to church, maybe you've done some great things, you've been in service organizations or charity organizations, or you send money to the Salvation Army, the Red Cross, or whatever, but you don't know for sure if you were to die today. You don't know for sure if you would be in heaven for all eternity. You don't know. Some people say, well, I want to go to hell because that's where all my friends are. Beloved, you don't want to go to hell, even if your friends are down there. I'd suggest you get a new set of friends and listen very carefully today so that you can know what is going to happen to you, where your eternity lies, where your eternal destiny is. And John addresses that here in this verse. He said, this is the testimony that God has given us, eternal life. Well, beloved, God wants you to have eternal life, and he has made the way for you. He has opened the door for you. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to be in doubt. You don't have to be in uncertainty and just hope beyond hope and flip a coin. Well, am I going this way or am I going that way? Or did my family do enough good things to help me out? Or my church people do enough good things to help me out? That is not God's plan for your salvation. God's plan for your salvation is eternal life. And John says, and this life is in his Son, Jesus Christ. And in verse 12, he goes on to say, he who has the Son has life, or in other words, has eternal life with the Son. He who has the Son has life, but he who does not have the Son of God does not have the life or the eternal life. So it's very simple. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Or is he just a prophet to you? Is he just a good man? Is he somebody that was a historical figure and you don't really know anything about him? You've heard about him. You, of course, in living in America, you know we have Christmas, we have Thanksgiving, we have Easter. The major holidays are all Christian holidays. And so maybe you participate in those, but you really don't have a relationship with the Son of God, because John says that eternal life through Jesus Christ is where your salvation and your eternal life lie, is through that one man. Well, in verse 13, then John gets more specific about how you can know if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and how you can know if you have salvation. And John says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Well, there it is in a nutshell. And so people may wonder, they have a long list of good things they've done on one side of the page, and they have a long list of bad things they've done on the other side of the page. And they say, well, I just hope that my good things outnumber my bad things. Then I have a chance to walk through the pearly gates, and I'm going to be in heaven where my grandma is, or whatever they think about heaven. They just are hoping their good works will get them through the door. Beloved, that's not what John says. That isn't what Jesus said. That isn't what he preached when he was here. And so if you believe the Bible, which I'm assuming you do, and you must, if you are to be saved, you must believe God's word. And it says here in verse 13, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Well, beloved, that is God's love for us, that we can know beyond any doubt. That is God's love for us. He doesn't want to leave us in limbo land. He doesn't want us leave us in a place of confusion, a place of uncertainty, where we get up each day and wonder, did I do enough good things to get into heaven? Did I do enough good things that when I die and my race is run here on this earth, and I close my eyes for the last time on this earth, have I done enough good things and made enough good impressions on people and good enough impressions on God that he's going to let me in spite of my failures? Well, beloved, good news for us today. Good news is that we don't have to depend on our good works. We don't have to depend on God keeping the eternal scorecard on us, and that our good works outnumber the bad works, and so by that we can enter into heaven. John again says, you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then in verse 14, John talks about prayer in relation to what you know about your salvation, and prayer in relation to what you know about your eternal life. And he says in verse 14, this is the confidence that we have in him, in Jesus, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And so if you're a person of prayer, which I assume you are if you're listening today. Just about everybody, even pagans, pray, and people of pagan religions pray. They just don't know for sure if their prayers are being heard, and they don't know for sure who their prayers are going to. But you can know, John says, that we can have this confidence that we have in Jesus, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Well, what is the will of God? You can't know unless you study his word. You can't know what God's will is and what the will of Jesus Christ is for your life unless you study his word, unless you listen to good preaching, good sound doctrine. Then you can know what God's plan for your life is. And even more specifically than that, you can get down to very fine details about what God expects of your life, what God wants for your life, what God wants you to do with your life, what your eternal destiny and your walk on the earth is. You can know that in very fine detail when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And you don't have to wonder why you were born. You don't have to wonder what you're doing here on this earth. And you can have ultimate confidence, as John says. You can have ultimate confidence and boldness and assurance that what you're doing and the life you're living is in the perfect will of God. Well, okay, so we're at the place, okay, if I'm not sure if I'm saved, if I'm not sure if I have salvation, I've never came to that place where I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's talk about how to start and where to go from here if you're in that place where you're not sure. All right, it comes from belief, beloved. That's where it comes from. You have to believe, as John said, you have to believe in the life of his son. All right, so in John 3:16, this is the Gospel of John. It says, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son," speaking about Jesus, "he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Well, beloved, let me tell you, God loves you. God created you in his image. There's a reason that God created you. There's a reason that you were born. Maybe you struggled your whole life. Maybe you had an awful childhood, and I'm sorry if you did. Maybe nobody loved you or told you they loved you. I'm telling you today, God, the creator of you and the creator of the universe, he loves you. And he has a plan for you, and there's a reason that you were born. You have a calling and a destiny and a purpose known to God, and you can find out what that purpose is when you believe, and you can find out what that purpose is when you turn your life over to the Lord. He will start to reveal it to you, and maybe today is just the first part, the first step, first small step in that revealing. Maybe today you're listening and you've wondered, and God has brought you to the place where you're listening to this broadcast today and you're saying, hey, maybe this message is for me. Maybe this message will speak to me and I can start on my walk. I can start finding out what my purpose is here on this earth. And again, it starts from belief that whosoever believes in Jesus should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17 in John chapter 3, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And so there's no condemnation in Christ. It doesn't matter what you've done. Many people shy away from the kingdom of God. They shy away from salvation. They shy away from seeking God's plan for their life because they think they've done too much, they've blown it, they've been too much of a sinner, too much baggage and too much negative stuff has happened in their life. Beloved, it doesn't matter what you've done. Everybody comes to the cross with baggage. Everybody comes to the cross with sin. Everybody comes to the cross with darkness and all of that stuff in their life. And that's the reason Jesus is hanging on the cross, or was hanging on the cross, and you're not, is because his precious perfect blood cleanses us of our sin. His precious perfect blood cleanses us of all unrighteousness, and because of his precious perfect blood, our sins are washed away, our sins are forgiven, and all those negative, sinful things that you have done over the years are washed away, and you are a new creation in Christ, and you can stand at the foot of the cross and thank Jesus if you believe. So Jesus didn't condemn the world when he was hanging on the cross, and he doesn't condemn the world now. He even forgave those who nailed him to the cross. He forgave those who were right there in front of him. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And even today, those that are living in sinful lifestyles and those that are stumbling and carrying a lot of baggage against the kingdom of God, he will forgive you and he will set you free from all of that. You don't have to go forward carrying your shame. You don't have to go forward carrying all that negative baggage that has held you down and held you back and made you shameful and anxious. And so God didn't send his son Jesus to condemn the world. He sent his son to save the world through the blood of Jesus, that their sins can be forgiven and they can be saved. And verse 18 in John 3, no condemnation. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so if you do not believe, you are condemned. If you do not receive the message of hope, if you do not receive the message of salvation, if people have spoken this message to you, preached it to you, you've heard it, and you don't receive it, then you stand in condemnation. But when you receive Jesus, all of the condemnation is taken off of you. All of the sin is washed away. Your sins are remitted. Your sins are rolled back and washed away. And God forgives you, and he remembers your sin no more. You just have to believe. If you don't believe, and the Holy Spirit is convicting you, if you're out there listening today and you're still doubting, the Holy Spirit is convicting you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And the Holy Spirit is convicting you. And if you continue to deny that convicting, convincing power of the Holy Spirit, if you continue to deny that, then you stand in condemnation. Then you stand in confusion and doubt about your salvation. Well, the condemnation, verse 19, John says, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and man loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Well, beloved, people love their sin. They like to drink, they like to party, they like to fornicate, they like to gamble, they like to steal, they like to do all kinds of things that go against the kingdom of God and bring glory and honor to the devil instead of their creator, Jehovah God. And so John says, this is the condemnation. The light has come into the world. And of course, it came through a man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But the Bible tells us even before Jesus came, that there was enough evidence about God. God revealed himself through creation, and there was enough evidence about him that people could know he is Jehovah God, the Creator. They could know that and be certain about that even before Jesus Christ hung on the cross, that God gives evidence through his creation. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth speaks of his bounty. The earth speaks of his goodness. And so that's how people go to lost tribes and unreached people groups, and they find out those people, many of them have a concept of Creator God. God has revealed himself to them even before the missionary got there, even before they told them about Jesus hanging on the cross for their sins. God had revealed themselves, and people had received that into their heart. Well, verse 20 in John 3, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Well, isn't that the truth? The whole world is wrapped up in evil deeds, all the darkness, all of the spirit of Babylon, the traitors of the world, and the sex traders and the narcos and the drug traders and all of this stuff is happening all over the world. It's been happening since the beginning, even the first family. Adam and Eve, there was a murder in that family. And so everything wasn't cool and everything wasn't copacetic in that first family either. And so here we are, thousands of years later, the same thing goes on. People murder, people rape, people steal, people lie, and people cheat. And so this is the reason people don't come to the light. They love their evil deeds. And if that's you today, and you are sick and tired of your evil deeds, you're sick and tired of fighting against God and fighting against the Holy Spirit trying to speak to you, beloved, humble yourself, get rid of your pride, get down on your knees and cry out to the Lord. Humble yourself before the God who created you, and He will exalt you. Verse 29, but he who loves the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in or with God. And so when you get to the point when you're tired of your evil deeds, when you're tired of running from the law, when you're tired of going to rehab centers, when you're tired of cheating on your wife or whatever it is that's going on in your life, lying and stealing, when you get to the point when you can't take it anymore and you don't like that life and you want your deeds to be exposed, you want your deeds to be exposed and cleared and clean before God, then God says, I'm here waiting for you, and I'm here to offer you the blood of my Son, Jesus Christ, the salvation, the redemption that comes through my Son, Jesus Christ. Well, so how does that belief happen? Is it just a magic thing that something touches your heart? Well, in a sense, it's not magic, but it happens quickly. And it can happen when you're listening to a message. It can happen when you're listening to worship music. It can happen just when you're out at the ocean or maybe in the mountains, and the glory of God just showers you with a feeling that God is your creator, that there's something special about the creation of this place where we live. There's something special about you as a unique person, and it can happen quickly. Romans 10:8 says, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Well, every single person is given a little measure of faith when they're born, and so you have all the faith that you need to believe. You don't need more faith. What you need is to humble yourself and to say, yes, Jesus, I believe you are God's Son. I believe you are who you say you are. And so Paul goes on to say here then in Romans 10, verse 9, this is the mechanics or the basics of the salvation confession. This is the basics. This is the mechanics that every single person has to go through to express their faith and their belief in Jesus Christ. And Paul says in verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's very simple. It's not about going to church a whole bunch of times, maybe you have, and you're still cold inside, you're still dead inside. It's not about taking communion, and you're still cold inside. You have to believe, and you have to confess that Jesus Christ is who He says He is. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Beloved, Jesus isn't laying in that tomb anymore. You can book a flight to Israel if you want. Go there and look in that tomb. You won't find His bones. You won't find His robe. You won't find anything there. There's nothing there left of when Jesus was laying in that tomb. God has raised Him from the dead. I would suggest you get a book by Lee Strobel, A Case for Faith. And this is an atheist, a man who denied God, and he came to know the Lord Jesus. He was a reporter and also a lawyer, very analytical mind, and he came to a place of belief. He came to a place of salvation, and he's written many books, A Case for Faith, A Case for Christ, all of these, Lee Strobel. I urge you to check those out. So verse 10 in Romans chapter 10, it says, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And so it starts in the heart, that quickening of the heart, that quickening by the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit convinces you of your sin, convinces you of your need for a Savior, when you have a recognition of your sinful place and your iniquity has separated you from God, then you come to a place where you say, "I need a Savior," and you look around and behold, there is the Savior hanging on the cross. The blood that he shed for you and for me is sufficient to take care of all of your sins. Well, beloved, I hope this helps you to come to a place of certainty. I hope this helps you to come to a place of understanding, and you can know that you are saved. You don't have to doubt, you don't have to wonder, and you can know when you get up each day that you are going to be in heaven for all eternity through Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior. Well, if you make any kind of a decision today, I urge you to email me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. Let us get you some information, get you on your Christian walk. Maybe you've never been to church. Maybe you've never prayed. Maybe you've never done anything in the kingdom of God. You can start today. Email me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. Let me know you made a decision, and we'll get you started on your walk with the Lord, and you can know for certain where you're going to end up. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that, and we invite you to partner with this ministry. We'd love to hear from you. We want you to know that we care about you, that God cares about you, and you can be a participant in these projects over here in Africa. You can boost the ministry, support the ministry, pray with us, pray for us. You can do that today. We'd love to hear from you. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week.